From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Coronavirus pandemic amplifying poverty in United Kingdom. Boeing extends plants shutdown in state of Washington amid COVID-19 crisis. Now the news in detail. The coronavirus pandemic is increasing poverty in Britain, where levels are already high after a decade of austerity triggered by the global financial crisis. Official data shows that more than 14 million people in the United Kingdom are classed as living in poverty, or nearly one quarter of the population. Some 4.2 million children are poor, or around 30% of the total, government figures show. The situation is worsening, with Britons losing many jobs as the United Kingdom experiences lockdown. Head of Economics at the Joseph Rowntree, poverty is particularly high for workers in sectors like hospitality and retail, where people are more likely to be on low wages and in insecure work. The U.S. aircraft manufacturer Boeing has announced that the suspension of work at plants and offices in the Puget Sound area of Washington State would be extended until further notice, the company said in a press release. On March 23, Boeing said it would shut down production for at least 2 weeks, during which workers who were unable to work from home would be paid. According to the Seattle Times newspaper, there are about 70,000 employees working at the company's facilities. Such a decision will affect around 30,000 of them. Those who can work remotely will continue to perform their duties. At the same time, according to the CNBC broadcaster, citing the company's spokesperson, 135 Boeing workers have contracted the coronavirus. The Turkish Defense Ministry has ordered that the movement of its military in Syria is minimized due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The Turkish military, which operates 12 observation posts in Idlib to monitor a 2018 de-escalation agreement, intervened in early February to push back the Syrian troops who had been trying to recapture Idlib province since mid-December. On 5 March, Russia and Turkey managed to implement a ceasefire in Syria to stop fighting in the area, also establishing a security corridor that runs 6 kilometers or 3.7 miles north and south of the strategically important M4 highway connecting the provinces of Latakia and Aleppo. Under the ceasefire agreement, Moscow and Ankara conduct joint patrols along the M4 highway, which is currently controlled by militants. Millions of Indians turn off their lights and light up balconies and doorsteps with lamps, candles, and flashlights on Sunday in response to Prime Minister Narendra Modi's appeal to challenge the darkness spread by the coronavirus crisis. Modi, who imposed a three-week-long nationwide lockdown on March 25, asked all citizens to turn out their lights for 9 minutes at 9 p.m. local time on Sunday and to display lamps and candles in a show of solidarity. Modi's call was met with a huge response, with many people lighting up their balconies. Grid data showed India's national power consumption plunging more than a quarter in a matter of minutes. The show of unity came as the total number of coronavirus cases in India increased to 3,577, while the death toll rose to 83. Some officials have warned that lockdowns could continue beyond April 14 in parts of India where new cases have been detected. Best known for phones and computers, Apple has now turned its hand to making face shields for medical workers. Apple chief executive Tim Cook tweeted on Sunday that it has designed and is now making the protective gear. The tech giant plans to make more than 1 million shields a week, which will be shipped first to U.S. medical workers and then distributed globally. It has also sourced 20 million face masks, which it is donating worldwide to help prevent the spread of the virus. Companies from electronics firm to car makers have been shifting production to help make vital medical equipment and supplies for hospitals around the world. The government is compiling a guidebook that will become a standard operating procedure to implement physical distancing for passengers in an effort to limit the number of travelers during the Eid al-Fitr 2020 homecoming exodus, or MUDIK, amid the COVID-19 outbreak. The guidebook publication involved the Ministry of Transportation, the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment, the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing, the Indonesian National Police, and other relevant institutions or agencies. Public hearings will be held before the guidebook is launched. Deputy for Infrastructure and Transportation Coordination at the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Investment, Ridwan Jamaluddin, said in a statement on Sunday that the steps and regulations in force will be valid for two months until the end of the outbreak and will be reviewed regularly. The last item, the Bogor City government proposed to the provincial government of West Java to appoint the IPB University Laboratory in Bogor to become a branch of the Provincial Health Laboratory for testing swab test specimens to detect COVID-19. Deputy Mayor of Bogor, Dedi Rahim, through his social network on Sunday said that the Bogor City government had submitted the proposal verbally to the West Java Provincial Health Office and then forwarded it to the Minister of Health to be approved. According to Dedi Rahim, his party through the Legal and Human Rights Division then compiled a proposal letter to the government of West Java Province to approve IPB's laboratory as a branch of the Regional Health Laboratory for the Bogor and surrounding areas. If this proposal has been approved and the IPB laboratory can start to work immediately, the results can be quickly known. Based on information from IPB University, the IPB laboratory was able to make swab test specimens to more than 100 specimens per day. Listener, that was news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Preventing the Spread of COVID-19 Through Large-Scale Social Restrictions. Well, listeners, since coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19 pandemic has attacked almost all countries in the world. Efforts had been made to slow its spread. Each country has a different policies in responding the COVID-19 outbreak. There are some countries that urge their citizens to implement social distancing or physical distancing. There are also others that impose lockdowns, all of which are believed to prevent the spread of COVID-19. What about Indonesia? Recently, several groups of people have urged the central government to impose a lockdown policy because the number of positive cases of COVID-19 in Indonesia has increased rapidly. However, it seems that the central government does not want to enforce the policy, although several cities in Indonesia have imposed regional quarantine or regional lockdowns to close access in and out of their territory. President Joko Widodo, through a video conference on Tuesday, stated that he was better off choosing large-scale social restriction to face the COVID-19 pandemic. The policy is regulated in the Government Regulation No. 21/2020 signed by President Joko Widodo. The implementing rules were released by the Minister of Health of Republic of Indonesia, Minister of Health Regulation No. 9/2020 on Friday. The large-scale social restrictions are the ones on certain activities of residents in one area suspected of being infected with COVID-19 to prevent its spread. This restriction is carried out during the longest incubation period, namely 14 days. If there is still evidence of the spread of new cases, this policy can be extended within 14 days of the case being found last. It's worth noting closely that the contents of the Health Minister regulation are considered to be more flexible than the lockdown policy. In the large-scale social restriction, despite restriction on activities in schools and offices, places of worship, public places, and public transportation and social cultural activities, residents are still allowed to walk around and leave the house for essentially logical reasons. In contrast, some countries impose lockdowns where residents are not allowed to leave the house at all, except for buying basic necessities and medicines. Even some countries also impose fines and criminal penalties for residents who leave the house. The large-scale social restrictions taken by the Indonesian government are appropriate steps to improve community discipline and are expected to reduce the spread of COVID-19. The most important thing is how the Indonesian people remain disciplined to limit activities outside the home and avoid crowded places and maintain health and cleanliness that start from themselves. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on March 2, 1917 about US declaration of war on Germany. At first, the United States of America did not want to get involved in the World War I, but the USA eventually joined the war because its merchant ship was sunken by Germany on May 7, 1915. In addition, Germany was proven to persuade Mexico to jointly attack the USA based on the Zimmermann telegram, a secret diplomatic message made by German Foreign Minister Arthur Zimmermann. Therefore, the USA declared war on Germany on April 6, 1917. It supported its allies in World War I. The war ended in 1918. The next event is about the National Fisherman's Day. April the 6th has been commemorated as the National Fisherman's Day since it was established in 1960. The commemoration of National Fisherman's Day aims to appreciate the contribution of Indonesian fishermen to providing fish as the source of protein and nutrients for Indonesian people. In addition, through this commemoration, it's worth reminding that fishermen should get more attention as they have a major role in sustaining the national economy. The last event is about the assassination of Rwandan and Burundian presidents in 1994. A plane carrying Rwandan President Juvenal Habyarimana and Burundian President Cyprien Ntaryamira, who of them were both Hutu ethnics, was shot down by opposition group. All passengers on the plane were killed. The event triggered the Rwandan genocide committed by Hutu extremists in Rwanda. Only a few hours after the death of Juvenal Habyarimana, all places in Rwanda were immediately blocked. Listener, that was Today in History.
Ku nyanyi selalu.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic of My Indonesia today is Indonesia export fishery products to 13 countries. Amid the unfavorable situation due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Indonesian Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries keep pushing the economic growth through fishery product exports. This was stated by Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Edi Prabowo, when releasing export of fishery products at Koja Container Port, Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta on Wednesday. The volume of exported fishery products reached 3,200 tons, worth around 194.6 billion rupiah. The export destination market for these fishery products are 13 countries such as Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, Mauritius, Taiwan, Thailand, United States, Vietnam, and Lithuania. The exported fishery commodities consist of 28 types such as shrimp, squid, cuttlefish, skipjack, yellowfin tuna, red snapper, white pomfret, canned crab, salted shrimp, fishmeal, and fish oil. Minister Edi Prabowo said that his side hopes that the presence of the government in supporting the production and export of fishery products would be able to provide a positive signal for fishery sector businesses. On the occasion, he also handed over the health certificate of fish to exporters of fishery products and witnessed the loading of export commodities on board. He also added that he would continue to make a breakthrough and streamline export procedures according to fiscal policy, and he asked all related ministries or institutions to coordinate with each other. Meanwhile, Commercial Director of Petit Pelindo II, Rima Novianti, who was also present to accompany Mr. Edi Prabowo, said that export-import services at Tanjung Priok Port keeps operating amid restriction on community activities. She also explained until Wednesday, Pelindo II still enforced COVID-19 preparedness and prevention procedures with high anticipation to protect all field employees. Regarding the large-scale social restriction policy, which was decided on Tuesday, according to Rima, Pelindo II continues to pay closest attention to the direction and further regulation of the government. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Tiba saat mengerti jerit suara hati yang letih meski mencoba melabuhkan rasa yang ada. Mohon tinggal sejenak, lupakanlah waktu, temani air mataku, teteskanlah merajut asa, menjalin mimpi, hendakkan sepi-sepi. Kembali di sini. jerit suara hati yang letih meski mencoba melabuhkan rasa yang ada. Mohon tinggal sejenak, lupakanlah waktu, temani air mataku, teteskanlah.
RRI was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener now will present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Welcome back to Indonesian wonder. Today, I am going to introduce you Port Kiswatras in Jepara, Central Java. Port Kiswatras is one of the main historical tourism objects of Jepara in Central Java. It is located in Banyumanis Village, Donorojo District, Jepara Regency, Central Java Province. Geographically, the location of the fortress is very strategic for military, especially in the past when the cannons were able to fire only 2 until 3 kilometers away. The fortress was built in 1923 on Stone Hill at seashore, and exactly in front of it there is Mandalika Island that can protect the fortress. It influences on sailing of the ships from Jepara to the eastern of Indonesia or vice versa. Now the fortress is only quadrangle shaped wall runs on hill. Behind the wall, there is only an empty land overgrown with the trees that are usually used as shelter by visitors. In addition, there are also several cannon replicas located in the north and east of this fortress. Here, visitors can enjoy the beautiful and exotic Mandalika Island. To go to the fortress, you should use private car or motorcycle. Because this tourism object is located into a rural area where public transportation does not operate. Ticket price of this tourism object is quite cheap. It is only 5,000 rupiah per person. So visitors can enjoy beautiful waves and panorama at the Portuguese fortress. At surrounding the fortress, there are many food stalls selling various menus with affordable prices. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Portuguese fortress in Jepara, Central Java. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye!
Setiap aku tahu dia di dekatku, aku susah bila dia tak ada. Tak ingin jauh ku darinya. Ada rasa
listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Fasilitas Hotel or Hotel Facility. Listen to this conversation about hotel facility or Fasilitas Hotel. Kevin asked the receptionist about the hotel facility.
Selamat siang. Apa saja fasilitas yang tersedia di hotel ini?
Selamat siang, Pak.
Di hotel kami ada kolam renang, fasilitas olahraga, dan restoran.
Terima kasih.
Sama-sama, Pak.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Selamat siang, which means good afternoon. Apa saja fasilitas yang tersedia di hotel ini? Apa saja fasilitas yang tersedia di hotel ini? Which means, what kind of facilities are available at this hotel? Di hotel kami ada kolam renang, fasilitas olahraga, dan restoran. Di hotel kami ada kolam renang, fasilitas olahraga, dan restoran. Which means, we have swimming pool, sport facility, and restaurant. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Sama-sama. Sama-sama, which means you're welcome. Ada, which means there is or there are. In the conversation, Kevin asks about the hotel facilities. He says, apa saja fasilitas yang tersedia di hotel ini? In English, what kind of facilities are available at this hotel? If you want to ask about facility of hotel, you can use the word apa, in English, what. But if you want to ask more than one facility, you can say apa saja. Let's listen to the next conversation. Apa menu favorit di restoran ini? Which means, what is the favorite dish in this restaurant? Ayam bakar. Ayam bakar, which means grilled chicken. Apa saja menu favorit di restoran ini? Which means, what kind of favorite dishes are available in this restaurant? Ayam bakar, ikan bakar, dan iga bakar. Ayam bakar, ikan bakar, dan iga bakar, which means grilled chicken, grilled fish, and grilled ribs. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Selamat siang. Apa saja fasilitas yang tersedia di hotel ini?
Selamat siang, Pak. Di hotel kami ada kolam renang, fasilitas olahraga, dan restoran.
Terima kasih.
Sama-sama, Pak.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Hatiku pun meledak. Yang tak pernah terjadi, kini ku alami sejak kehadirannya. Burung-burung bernyanyi, alam berwarna-warni, mentari di ujung rambutnya.
Inikah
tanda terlayang bunga asmara, ingin bersemi sekali lagi.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we'll present a keroncong song entitled Walau Hati Menangis. The song Walau Hati Menangis was composed by Pance F. Pondang in pop genre. In 1991, the song was rearranged in keroncong genre. Walau Hati Menangis is one of the songs in the 11th album of Dian P. Sesha in keroncong pop genre. The song tells about a woman who chooses to be alone and goes far away from her lover. Even though her heart is so sad, she keeps living her life. Well, listener, here is Dian P. Sesha with the song entitled Walau Hati Menangis.
Walau
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id. or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adalah. See you on the next English program.